From Cortland, New York, America's smallest small city, it's the Nerd Bomber Podcast, featuring the best news, entertainment, and related discussion that pop culture has to offer. And now, your hosts and experts in anti-social media, Just Jamie and your friend Claude! Ladies, gentlemen, millennials, welcome to the Nerd Bomber Podcast. I'm your friend Claude, and today I get to speak with a woman named Lauren, who is currently in training to be a pro wrestler in Northern California. Through the power of social media and shared interests, the conversational planets aligned to bring us together. So without further ado, please enjoy our interview. Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. If you don't mind, we're going to jump right in.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is your earliest wrestling memory?
I didn't really grow up with wrestling, so really most of what I remember from wrestling was like toy commercials on Nickelodeon, basically.
That's cool.
Yeah, like I was basically a kid during the Attitude Era, so like mostly all the stuff I saw was on like Nickelodeon. So I knew who everyone was, like I knew who The Undertaker was, and I know who Stone Cold Steve Austin was, and of course The Rock and all that. But like, yeah, that's pretty much all like my wrestling memory was, is just seeing it through other people, I guess.
Right. I mean, you say the Attitude Era, so that's in the broader scope of wrestling, that is the Monday Night Wars era. Does that mean you're really only exposed to WWF stuff?
I mean, at the time when I was younger, but since I've been training, like, my trainers have been encouraging me to watch a lot of WCW stuff and, like, have, you know, given me, like, different WCW pay-per-views and stuff to watch.
Nice. Just out of curiosity, any specific one stand out for you?
There was one night where Rick Scott's daughter, he was like really pushing for us to watch Super Brawlers, I think it was.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of really good matches in it. The one I remember was, I think it was Brian Pillman versus Jushin Thunder Liger. That was a really good match.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's even...
Yeah.
That's a little even earlier than Monday Night Wars era. I feel like people mention that often in the same conversation with the classic Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat match from WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm.
You hear those a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've given away that. In that period, I was more a WCW guy.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, very much WWF. But so that's cool. That's like cool to hear somebody else's perspective of that time period.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it is about wrestling that holds the most appeal for you?
Well, I grew up doing theater and like ballet and stuff. So definitely the more theatrical storytelling aspect of it. I just really love, you know, live theater, and wrestling is very much like live theater in a sense. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Pretty much that.
Yeah, like the performance aspect.
Yes.
I mean, wrestling is basically theater taken to its most intense level.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's the extraness of it that's really awesome for me.
Right. There's no shortage of extra there.
Yeah.
So, I know that you said you first became aware of wrestling during the Attitude Era, but what would you say that your favorite overall time period of wrestling would be?
I would say, from what I've been watching, just tape-wise, probably in between the Golden Era and the Attitude Era.
Right.
Pretty much those two. Just because I think with the Golden Age, it's got this, like, it's got really good storytelling, because it's basically, you know, what, you know, like, people were really passionate about what they were watching.
Right.
And you could just tell, like, they really knew how to get people invested. And then with the Attitude Era, again, it's just the extraness of it I really enjoy.
Right.
Well, surely Vince Russo would appreciate that. So what do you think about the apparent wrestling boom that's happening right now?
I think it's really cool. And for me, it kind of makes a lot of sense because I feel like a lot of different kinds of things have created like their own niche. Like music has gotten very niche now. Like a lot of artists don't reach the same level of popularity as like artists in the past, like the Elvis or the Beatles, because, you know, you can curate your own what you watch and what you listen to. So it makes sense that like wrestling has kind of had this boom going on because people are more, more easily accessible now since like Hood Slam streams on Twitch. IWTV is a thing. It's just so much more accessible now with streaming, and the, you know, even the WWE Network has pretty much everything, WWF, WCW, ECW. You could go back and check it out for yourself. Like, it's just more accessible now. So it makes sense to me that there's just this big boom and wrestling is finally figuring it out, a way to take advantage of technology and expose itself to the world.
Right. And in that same spirit, with the fact that there is so much televised wrestling content available now, are you able to keep up with like the current product, or, you know, if so, do you have a favorite?
Not so much. I do keep up with AEW as much as I can, especially AEW Dark's pretty easily to keep up with since it's all on YouTube. But yeah, sure. I keep up with AEW the most since that's the product I personally most enjoy. If New Japan was still going, it would probably actually take precedence over AEW. But yeah, not so much WWE. I do catch it when I can, though. Like, I'm not against it. It's just, you know, it's just not my favorite.
Just out of curiosity, what's your method for keeping up with New Japan since they lost their Access TV deal?
I mooch off of my friend's network.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I was going to ask if you had NJPW World or something like that?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, Lauren, as someone who's currently in wrestling training, what aspect of it are you personally the most excited to experience?
Me personally? Just interacting with a crowd. You know, again, it comes from just doing live theater and dance and stuff and just, you know, having a crowd to, you know, respond to and react to and to play with. I'm really excited for that. You know, just getting that energy. Like, I'm usually a typically pretty shy, introverted person. But like when I'm on stage, I don't know, something happens and I'm just like, another person comes takes over, and it's just really exciting being in front of a crowd. So I can't wait to experience that.
Yeah. I feel like that's pretty common among performers. I've even experienced it myself a little bit being in bands and things like that. It seems like performers often tend to be a little more introverted off stage, and then once the lights come on, something else happens and everything kind of comes alive. So, In that spirit, do you have a favorite all-time performer?
Like in wrestling or just...
Actually, either. Yeah, I mean, wrestling for sure, but then in general.
In general, I would say Stevie Nicks. Because she was very much the same. She's, first of all, a great songwriter and a very unique vocalist. I don't think there's anyone that sounds like her at all.
Right.
But also just, you know, she's very much the same way. Like, she was one person in her everyday life. And then she had her, like, stage alter ego, Rhiannon, which is what that song is about, that came out. So, yeah, I very much like her a lot. I find her songwriting very relatable. So she's probably my favorite all-time performer. And then wrestling-wise, that one's a little difficult because there's a lot of really good ones. Not that there's not a lot of good all-time performers, but right. I haven't sat with wrestling as long as I've sat with music.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would say as a performer, I like Stone Cold Steve Austin a lot.
It's not a bad choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
He definitely allowed himself to come alive in front of the cameras and on the mic.
Yeah, I just like, you know, just unabashed confidence, basically, and just being able to have a mic and be in control of the crowd, like, that's impressive. Like, God, I wish I could ever hope to achieve a fraction of that.
Sure. Can you talk about your experience so far in the world of wrestling and if it's changed your perception of the business overall?
So far my experience has been pretty good. It kind of hasn't changed my perception of the business. It's basically pretty much what I expected. I don't want to go like too much into it, but it's pretty much what I expected. But really what I've liked is the Oakland wrestling scene, I think, has been super progressive, especially with like Hood Slam. It's been super progressive and, you know, super into showcasing performers. And what I really like about Hood Slam is that there's a lot of people there that aren't even necessarily wrestling fans. They're just there to watch a really good show. And I think that's really cool. And I think, you know, that's what, you know, wrestling needs, is to just pull in new fans. I think that's what any industry needs, is just pull in new people to, you know, enjoy the product. And I think Hood Slam has done a really good job in doing that.
So Hood Slam is kind of like the main hub in the Oakland scene?
Yes, very much. I think it's the only Oakland wrestling promotion, but there's plenty of promotions in the East Bay Area, Bay Area. But Hood Slam is like the Oakland promotion.
Gotcha. It definitely feels like, from my perspective, that, I mean, I know we discussed the wrestling boom kind of on TV and stuff happening, but also it really feels like the territories have almost come back in a lot of ways. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think it's really cool that, you know, the indie wrestling scene is doing really well, because I think there are a lot of really talented performers that don't even necessarily ever make it super far, whether by choice or by just random circumstance. They just never make it to like TV.
Right.
And that's not necessarily anything against them. It's just, they're just really good performers and they just either don't want to, or they just haven't had the chance. And I think the indie wrestling scene, you know, with the boom it's been having, I think it's really good at, you know, showcasing those performers who otherwise necessarily wouldn't get the attention they would have gotten. I think, you know, it's always good to have different people in charge of a similar, you know, it's, monopoly is not really a great thing, is what I'm saying.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we've seen the effects of that for the last 20 years, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
At least on the national scale. I mean, a lot of the independent promotions have existed that whole time, and I've been to several shows in when I lived in the Hudson Valley area of New York. And I've seen, you know, they've had shows, and they've had, like, autograph signings, and, like, you know, you buy a ticket to the show, then you can come in and get an autograph from somebody and things like that. And it's almost like that's... I'm sure it's the same out in Oakland and other places where, like, these things have been going the whole time, but it's almost like people are becoming more aware of them now, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I think social media and promoting social media definitely helps, because before it's just like, oh, I got to get these posters and I got to convince all these people to hang my poster in these,
right,
in the window. And, you know, some people, you know, who don't necessarily know that much about professional wrestling other than, like, Hulk Hogan are probably like, I don't want that in my window.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. No matter how mainstream it gets, and, you know, it's seen like insanely popular times, it still has this weird stigma from, you know, certain people and stuff.
Yeah, like when I told people, like, oh yeah, I'm moving back to Northern California to, you know, do pro wrestling, people are like, wait, what? Like, I try not to talk about it as much as possible. Like, at work, when people are like, hey, where are you going? And I'm like, oh, to work out. Right. Oh, where? Oh, just, you know, at the gym. Like, I don't, I'd rather not.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Has wrestling changed anything for you personally since you've been doing it?
It's changed a lot. I think it's really helped me really weirdly, like, mental health wise. Like, it's really helped with my confidence, but it's also, like, humbled me in a way. And, like, you know, just like reminded me that, you know, this, you know, not, you just need, it's a skill and you need to work towards it like anything else.
Sure.
And it's really fucking hard. And, you know, I expected it to be really fucking hard. It did not look, I mean, there's some wrestlers that make it look super easy, but like it overall, it doesn't look easy.
Right.
And, you know, it just, you know, it's definitely reminded me of how much of a determined, hardworking person I am. And, you know, when I should put, it reminded me when I need to put forth the effort and when I need to like dial it back a bit. Like sometimes I'll go into training and I'll be hurting and it's like, oh, I probably shouldn't get in the ring, but I really want to. But it's like, no, I should just sit, watch, take notes. You know, it reminds me like I need to take care of myself, because if I don't take care of myself, then, you know, I won't be able to do the things I want to do. So it reminded me of my limits, but it also reminded me that I am capable of a lot more than I give myself credit for.
That's really cool.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, it's similar to a lot of, like, I guess most disciplines where, you know, like, mm-hmm. if you want to get a black belt, there's a process involved and it's not this, like, thing you see in the movies or, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to learn to play an instrument, same thing, you know, it's, I think that, things like that are really great for people. And I know I can, always use the reminder mm-hmm. to, take care of myself better.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, I should probably eat today.
Right. So what was it about the Netflix series Glow that intrigued you enough to want to try it out for yourself?
I really related to the characters a lot. Like basically I moved down to Southern California to do acting and I was working at Disneyland and, I enjoyed my job enough, but it was also really stressful. And there were a lot of like, there's a very specific box that Disney wants you to fill. And I don't think I filled it.
Do tell.
And when I was watching wrestling, like, I mean, when I was watching Glow, you know, I saw these, like, all these girls who didn't necessarily fit whatever box they were meant to fill in, and they were just trying to, you know, find something to do with their lives, especially, right. you know, Ruth, she's trying to be an actress, and, you know, she wasn't doing so well, and then she auditioned for this, and she found a lot of empowerment in it, and I was like, wow, that really fucking speaks to me, like, as a person. So I just was like, you know what? I need to do this. All of a sudden, my brain was like, you know what? I need to do this. I want to go to there. So I messaged my friend who was a fan when he was a kid. And then he kind of stopped for a little bit. And then he became a fan again when WrestleMania 31 happened in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
'Cause his dad worked for the company, the power company that powered the arena. So they were able to get a free luxury box for the show. So he became a wrestling fan again at that show, or a little bit before that. He wanted to like catch up with all the storylines
right.
leading up to it. And I messaged him and I was like, hey, you know, how could I do this? And he helped me basically, you know, get to where I needed to be. Like at first we were looking at schools down in Southern California and they were all really expensive. So I was like, maybe I need to move back to Northern California. And yeah, that's how I found Stoner U, and the rest is history.
That's really cool. Had you been aware of the original Glow series at all, or had you gone back and looked at any of that stuff?
Yes. I like saw a little bit of it somewhere. I forget where it was. I think it was a documentary. I think it was like a docuseries or something, and I watched a little bit of that.
Yeah, right around the time that the first season came out, they had the documentary up too.
Yes. Yes, I watched that.
I actually watched the documentary first and then the new series, and kind of like I was kind of surprised by the differences, but I was really sad when, I guess, what is it, 8 episodes each season, like by the time that last episode was done I was like, that's it. You know?
Yeah
they did a great job.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty much been a consistently good show, and this next season is going to be the last season. I'm like, oh good, hopefully they end on a high note.
Yeah, right. What do you think the greatest wrestling theme song is of all time? And have you thought about what you want to come out to?
weirdly enough, I know it's like super basic, but weirdly enough, I really like the Undertaker's entrance. I just think, like, no matter what, like, happens, even with like the Saudi Arabia shows, whatever, like, it's still like super chilling to watch. And it's just like, all he's doing is fucking walking, but it doesn't fucking matter. Like, he has such a presence, and like, just hearing the funeral dirge and like having the lightning go off. Like, I'm very into like spooky horror kind of stuff. So
okay.
That's like totally my shit. I don't know. I just love that whole entrance. It just speaks to me as a horror film geek. And then when it comes to what I want to come out to, I have a friend who has a band in Stockton called Static Symphony. And I was hoping, he mentioned in the past that he'd be willing to write an entrance music for me. So when the time comes, I would definitely like to hit him up and see what he can do.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge horror fan, but those kinds of wrestling characters kind of spoke to me more. I think they tend to be given a grander, higher production level. When it comes to the, like, how they're like, Sting was another one, and that's the obvious. Like, during the, you know, the 90s, it was, he was the mirror image kind of thing of The Undertaker. I mean, I never really saw them so similarly, but people are always just like, oh man, there's the two big dark characters, and you still hear people just clamoring for that match to this day, even though neither of them can barely walk.
I
definitely hear what you're saying. And I think the bigger the production value is, the more appealing to me.
Oh yeah, for sure. I definitely like a high production.
Well, I mean, you have to as a theater geek too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like, one of my favorite rides at Disneyland is the Haunted Mansion. One, because I love spooky shit, as I've mentioned. And two, because the special effects are just, it's basically the Imagineers just basically being like, look at all the cool stuff we can do, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, God.
One last big wrestling question.
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of your head, four names. Who is on your personal wrestling Mount Rushmore?
Oh, okay. For me personally, Alundra Blaze / Medusa.
Okay, wow. Nice.
Trish Stratus, Charlotte Flair, and could you include a tag team, or does it just have to be one more person?
Let me ask the judges real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, thank we'll allow you. That.
Okay, you'll allow it. Okay, Jumping Bomb Angels.
Oh, yeah, definitely allow it then.
Okay, cool, awesome.
This is an interesting answer to the question because, of course, you know, my brain is very geared towards, you know, is it Hogan or Austin or, you know, Flair, you know, those kinds of things. Like, it's the age-old debate. But the fact that you have a complete female perspective on it is really... it's totally cool because it's something I didn't even consider when I wrote the question. So yeah. I never even thought of personally, like, who I would put on, like, a female Mount Rushmore in wrestling. And that's, that's like, as you're saying it, I'm like, yep, duh, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
So I have to imagine that it would be mostly the same. What do you, so from that female perspective, do you have any thoughts or opinions on, like, what happened with the controversy over, like, the Fabulous Moolah and, like, some of the women that were involved with her or anything like that?
Well, as far as I know, I don't know if, like, any court cases have come out since, like, the whole Dark Side of the Ring documentary or anything, but, like, as far as I know, everything's alleged, but still, like, so many women are, you know, it gets to a point where it's like, well, if this many people are commenting on it and this many people are, like, verifying the story, like, friends of friends, family members, yada yada, it's like, how alleged can it be, you know?
Yeah. I actually only asked because I just watched that episode. I'd never seen it before, and I, like, the other day I just watched it, so it's kind of fresh in my mind.
Yeah, it's just really unfortunate because a lot of people say it really set women's wrestling back a lot, and it's just a really unfortunate situation that, you know, it just goes to show you, you know, not everyone, you know, just because someone's a woman doesn't mean they always have your best interests at heart.
Right. It reminded me, too, because you said the Jumping Bomb Angels, and, like, it was, like, during that whole period where they kind of got screwed over, and, like, the whole women's tag division was just dissolved completely for, I mean, until recently.
Oh yeah. I remember, Dark Sheik, she runs the Hoodslam promotion. She was like, when we were watching WrestleMania 35, and the Iconics won the women's tag titles, she was like, wait a second, didn't the women's tag titles exist before? And I was like, shh, yes, but you're completely 100% correct, but shh.
We don't talk about that.
No. But well, yeah, the Jumping Bomb Angels totally held the titles.
Yeah, definitely. And deservedly mm-hmm. so.
Oh, right. Of course. Way ahead of their time.
I agree.
Way.
Did you want to let people know where they can find you on social media or any of the organizations you're involved in?
Yes. You can find me at Instagram and Twitter at Skipper Lauren S. And you can also find me on OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/Lauren S. Monster. It's like the Loch Ness Monster, except Lauren instead of Loch.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Thanks. Yeah, my last name starts with an S, so I was always Lauren S, because Lauren's a pretty common name, and that just turned into Lauren S, and I was like, Lauren S. Monster.
Perfect.
So I like monsters.
Yeah, we're big fans of cryptids and everything associated with that on this show.
Cool.
And just out of curiosity, is there like a Hoodslam social media or anything that you want to give out for them?
Yes. You can find them on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, all Hoodslam. There might even be some I'm missing. I don't even know. But those are the ones that come off the top of my head.
Fair enough.
But cool. Yeah, I definitely give them a follow. They're really amazing. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think that will wrap up our wrestling interview. And I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me about it. We'll definitely
for sure. Thanks for having
follow
me.
Along. Absolutely, yeah. And we'll be happy mm-hmm. to see the developments in your career.
Thank you.
Okay, well, as they say in wrestling, it's time to go home. Big thanks to Lauren for speaking with me, and to you as well for taking the time to listen. Once again, you can check her out on social media by searching at Skipper Lauren S, and her local promotion is at Hoodslam. Give them a follow and help support independent arts and entertainment. Until next time, I have been your friend Claude. Later.
The Nerd Bomber Podcast is a Ghost Factory Internet production brought to you by the WHAM Network.